This episode is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. From expansion to reducing the risk of fraud, your business needs custom solutions to meet the specific moments you're navigating. Enter Fifth Third Bank. Fifth Third has industry experts ready to meet you with tools designed to make your business more efficient and solutions built specifically around your goals. To learn more, visit 53.com/commercial. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, November 10th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. If you've got a car and want to reduce your carbon footprint, you might have considered an electric vehicle. But what about a solar vehicle? An EV powered by sunlight could cut those emissions even further and mean you don't get stranded at a charging station. Some entrepreneurs think solar-powered cars are poised for their day in the sun. On today's show, reporter Rebecca Elliott, who covers the EV market, joins us to discuss where the tech for solar cars stands right now and what happens when the clouds roll in. That's after these headlines. Facebook's new parent company, Meta, says it'll ban micro-targeting of ads based on politics and other sensitive issues like race and religion starting in mid-January. It's a reversal for the company. Internal documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal show just a year ago, CEO Mark Zuckerberg overruled staffers who called for the company to restrict the practice. The company said it still believes that best advertising is personalized, but its new move would make it less likely that targeted ads could be abused or lead to negative user experiences. We report the electric car maker Rivian priced its initial public offering well above even its raised expectations. The Amazon-backed company was valued at more than $77 billion, more than either Hyundai or Honda. Our auto industry reporter Ben Foldy explains why investors are so interested in EV startups like Rivian.
I think what it says is markets have looked at legacy automakers and for the most part are, you know, discounting them for all of the sunk costs that will go into kind of transitioning out of internal combustion cars and trucks, and are more eager to kind of take a flyer on these startups that, you know, may be, you know, money losing kind of capital intensive ventures now, but, you know, if they hit, you know, they could be Tesla. Is the logic. I'm not saying that's true, but that's the logic.
You can hear more about Rivian from Ben on this morning's episode of our sister podcast, What's News. We'll have more on a different breed of EVs later in the show. DoorDash says it'll acquire European food delivery company Wolt in an all-stock deal worth over $8 billion. It's the latest such deal in the highly competitive food delivery space where sales have spiked during the pandemic, but profits remain hard to come by. DoorDash said the head of Wolt would lead its overseas presence after the deal closes. And recent high-profile cyber attacks have put cybersecurity companies in the spotlight, but that hasn't yet translated into profitability. 7 of the 10 biggest public companies in the sector posted losses in their latest fiscal years. WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter David Uberti says, like other tech companies, cybersecurity firms are willing to incur huge losses in the hopes of reaching long-term profitability.
The thing with cybersecurity is that the pandemic has really become a moment for this entire industry because of digitization. So it has really swung the pendulum so far in toward the growth end of things as opposed to the profitability type of things. You know, as we know, the pendulum always tends to swing back with the market. So it's just a question of when that happens and to what extent it goes in the opposite direction.
Okay, coming up, are solar-powered vehicles ready for the spotlight? We'll discuss the companies that are working to make them a reality. That's after the break.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Plaid. There's a fintech app for everything these days, but how do you know which ones to trust? That's where Plaid comes in. The most popular fintech apps and services use Plaid to help you securely connect your financial accounts. The best part? There's no extra work for you. Plaid is already used by over 5,000 fintech apps. The next time you're signing up for a fintech app, look for Plaid, the safer way to share your financial information.
The World Solar Challenge may not be the most well-known car race in the world, but it is unique. The cars race across more than 1,800 miles of the Australian outback fueled entirely by the sun. The race was created over 30 years ago to help promote the development of solar-powered vehicles. Today, though, while demand for plug-in electric cars is growing, cars with solar panels still aren't a feature on most roads. But could that change? Some entrepreneurs are working to make cars that are even partly solar-powered available for everyday drivers. Joining us to discuss this is our reporter who covers the electric vehicle market, Rebecca Elliott. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
So, Rebecca, I watched some of the videos of the World Solar Challenge, and those vehicles look kind of strange. You know, they have solar panels extending from the front and off to the side. You know, some of them are around the back. It kind of makes them look like a UFO. Are the solar cars that are being designed for everyday people, are they going to look that strange?
So people have been racing solar vehicles for decades. Students, some companies, field teams, and the cars that are poised for sale on the market in the coming years are really descendants of those race cars. At least one of them looks very similar to a sedan that you would see out on the road. There's another that's being developed by this company called Aptera in California that is super unusual. It's a two-seater with three wheels and looks nothing like the vehicles that are out on the streets today, by and large.
So range is really the thing people talk about with electric cars, you know, how far it can go on a single charge. Lightyear, the company you just mentioned that makes the sedan-like car, we found a video of their vehicle performance test from 4 months ago where their CEO said this.
We drove over 440 miles. We did that on a single charge of just 60 kilowatt hours.
You know, that's a really big claim to have so much range. How does that really translate for everyday drivers, though? You know, running errands, going to the office, just doing regular things.
So all of the cars that are being developed today with solar front and center and, you know, developed for purchase by everyday folks, they also come with plug-in capabilities. And so while the range varies considerably depending on which company's vehicle we're talking about, you know, how far you can go is not solely dependent on how much energy the solar cells can harness. You know, you also have the option to plug in and charge your battery if it's cloudy or winter time and there's less sunlight.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, because if you're thinking about ever purchasing a solar car and you live anywhere where it rains, I'm in San Francisco, it's raining right now, you know, what do you do with that?
So as I mentioned, you can also plug the cars in. And one of the kind of big criticisms of solar cars is that, you know, the technology and the energy efficiency of vehicles is just perhaps not there in some people's view to really make a big dent in the energy needed to power a car. The companies that are developing these vehicles talk in terms of, you know, the energy that you're able to harness from the sun likely would be enough to cover many people's daily commutes. But we're still talking about, in the cases of a couple companies, being able to harness a maximum of around 40 miles a day worth of range from the sun in a day. And that's, you know, according to estimates that companies have put forward. Some are skeptical that most drivers in everyday use would, you know, see anything close to that level of charging, you know, on a regular basis.
Yeah, there does seem to be a lot of skepticism about solar cars, including from one well-known EV maker, Elon Musk. Here he is at the National Governors Association summer meeting in 2017.
Putting solar panels on the car itself, not that helpful, because the actual surface area of the car is not very much, and cars are very often indoors. And so it's the least efficient place to put solar is on the car.
What does that skepticism mean for the future of solar cars?
A number of people have, you know, long been skeptical of the kind of wider market potential of solar vehicles in part because of a point that Musk is making there, which is that there's just not that much sun-facing surface area on a car. And so, you know, I think it's safe to say that to the extent these cars gain traction, it's likely going to be in places that see a lot of sun, largely year-round, because people who live in those areas, you know, would be able to leverage the solar cells more consistently than people who live in a place where it's, you know, often cloudy or rainy or they're very long winters.
I mean, apart from a lack of sun, is there a reason this technology hasn't taken off or just, you know, hasn't been more developed than it is?
It really comes down to how efficient solar cells are at converting sunlight into electricity, and also the energy efficiency of vehicles. And many of the entrepreneurs that I've spoken to in recent weeks about solar cars have really cited improvements in solar efficiency and also battery technology as part of the reason why, you know, they're pushing forward with this now. But again, even when we're talking about cars that are designed with solar in mind, with solar front and center, these vehicles are able to harness a maximum of around 40 miles a day worth of range by company estimates. And, you know, for some people, I don't know that that's going to be enough.
Right. So even if a solar car has a range of a few hundred miles, if it's only getting 40 miles worth of charge per day, it'll take days to get a full charge. But Rebecca, apart from going to Australia to see these cars racing down the outback, when am I going to see a solar car on the road?
The companies I've been talking to are all aiming to deliver their first vehicles to customers in the next couple of years. Car companies often face delays in bringing vehicles to market. So I guess I would always take some of that with a grain of salt, especially given some of the technical challenges that are at play here. But, you know, in general, the companies are looking at the next few years.
So hopefully sunny days ahead for those solar panel car makers. Sorry, we can cut the bad pun.
I went full on with the bad pun in the lead of the story, so no judgment.
All right, that was our reporter, Rebecca Elliott. Thanks for joining us, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.